You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Frank's contacted us on social media. We were talking about people's experiences at the ED recently. Some shocking stories of long waits. Frank tells me he's 14 hours in the ED and still hasn't seen a doctor, and that it's packed this morning. 14 hours, hasn't seen a doctor yet. All right, Frank, hopefully you get sorted soon, and thanks for being involved in the programme, even though you're waiting to be seen down at the hospital there. A caller says, hi, it's stupid to have to pull in and get a ticket when at times it's quicker to go straight in and out of the premises you need to. I have a baby that hates the car, and for me to run in and get my goods that are pre-ordered and paid for, it's easier and quicker than getting a ticket with a baby roaring when the car is parked. Another caller says, always two sides to every story. People will park anywhere and are used to getting away with it. Indeed, and that's why it was great to get a chat to Cahill. I don't agree with someone treating his elderly mum like that. No call for that at all. No, that part of that interview was a shocker for me too. A caller says that the job of a traffic warden is difficult without a doubt, but it is not up to the traffic warden to decide what areas have 15 minutes time limits. This is not his role. It's important for the life force of a town to allow 30 minutes free parking. But if the traffic wardens did allow for 30 minutes free parking in Ballybofane, Stranraer, they wouldn't be doing their job because it's a 10-minute grace to go and buy a ticket. Hi, Greg. The 30 minutes free is easy. The machines can be programmed to give a ticket for free for 30 minutes. Well, that's another way of sorting it out, indeed. Morning, all. Ask your warden, do they check cars for tax and can they give a ticket for same? I believe they can. I don't think I need to ask him. I think they can. A non-display of tax in a public space, I believe they can issue a ticket for that. I'll double-check it. We can check it, but I believe they can. What about these taxis? How come they don't put a ticket up? And there's car parks there with no ticket up. Now, in the car parks, a lot of people now are using the app. So if you pay for your ticket on the app, you will not have a physical ticket on your screen. So the fact that a car is sitting there without a ticket, it is probable, if not likely, that they've paid for their ticket online. And the reader from the traffic warden will spot the number plate and know that they've paid for their parking. So the days when a ticket actually on the screen were an indication as to whether or not someone had paid or not, it's not the way anymore, because lots of people, including myself, have paid for the ticket online, so there would be no physical ticket on the windscreen. A caller says someone could be going into a shop to get change for the machine, etc. The grace period is set on the traffic warden scanner and he has no override. Separate issue for disabled parking in yellow lines or parking on footpaths, they say. Derry for an hour, and this is a... Sorry, you get free parking in Derry for an hour, and this is a major busy city, that caller says. Another, Donegal is a disgrace with cheeky wardens loving to give tickets, but I asked Cahill straight out, did he like giving tickets? He said no. He liked giving tickets to people who were on double yellow lines or parked in a bay reserved for disabled parking, but not generally speaking, is what he said. Another, I agree with Cahill. I watched a female traffic warden be given extreme abuse in opinion because a man was given a ticket. I approached her afterwards to see if she was okay, and she said, it's on a daily basis, you get used to it. But we heard from Cahill too, there's counselling services that he himself has found himself availing of. On. Right, keep them coming into us. Lots of texts coming in on various issues. Very appreciative of them.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, it's Tuesday the 9th of May 2023, and it's time for another edition of Community Garda Information. And in studio with me this week, I'm pleased to welcome Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson from Bonkrana Garda Station. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
We'll get straight into the appeals, if that's okay. So listen up if you can help in these investigations. And we'll start with the theft of a car in Letterkenny.
That's correct, Greg. So Gardaí are investigating the theft of a car from McNeely Villas, Letterkenny, on Tuesday the 2nd of May at approximately 11 p.m. Now, the car in question was a white Nissan March, registration number 131D40249. Now, it is believed to have been stolen by two or three males. So shortly after 4:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 3rd of May, this car was involved in an incident at the Diamond in Rafow when it was deliberately driven into a payment kiosk at the petrol pumps. Now, the kiosk was knocked to the ground and substantial damage was caused. There was two money boxes stolen, neither of which contained any money. So the stolen car was later located at 6 a.m. On the Wednesday, the 3rd of May, at Ballymacool, Letterkenny, but the vehicle had been set on fire. So we're appealing to anyone who may have been, I suppose, in the McNeely Villas area, the Diamond or Foe, Ballymacool area, or indeed may have travelled on the route from Rafoe to Letterkenny, who may have dash cam footage or who may have any information in relation to this particular appeal, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100, or indeed the Gardaí Confidential line is there on 1800 666 111.
Okay. Next, a theft from a car in Remelton.
That's right. So Gardaí in Milford this time were investigating a theft from a car that occurred at Bridge Street, Remelton, between 6 p.m. on Saturday the 6th of May and 10:40 a.m. on Sunday the 7th of May. Now, a resident on Bridge Street had parked their car at that location and returned to discover that the passenger window had been smashed. The glass had been removed from both wing mirrors and both front wiper blades had also been removed. There was discs stolen from the vehicle's windscreen and documentation that was contained within the vehicle was also stolen from the glove box. Now, further to this, a second incident occurred at Bridge Street, Remelton, between 6 p.m. on Saturday once again and 10:40 a.m. on Sunday the 7th of May. And again, a resident had parked their van this time at the location overnight, only to discover the following morning that the handle had been broken off at the rear sliding door and the rubber was torn from the windscreen. So we'd ask anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the Bridge Street area of Remelton between 6 p.m. on Saturday and 6 p.m. on Saturday the 6th of May and 10:40 a.m. on Sunday the 7th of May, or indeed who may have any relevant information in relation to these particular incidents, to contact Gardaí in Milford on 9153060.
Okay, we're staying in Remelton, aren't we, for our next appeal?
Exactly. This is another incident that occurred, and this time this occurred at Chiradi, Remelton, and this occurred on Sunday the 7th of May at approximately 2 p.m. Now, what we believe is two people, a male and a female, entered a site as trespassers, and while there they interfered with some construction machinery, resulting in substantial damage being caused. A roller had been driven around and then abandoned in a drain. An excavator windscreen was damaged and a portaloo was also damaged in this particular incident, Greg. So both the male and the female were described as being of a slim build. Now, the female had blonde hair and wore a navy top. They left the site and went through a forest area heading in the direction of Remelton to Rathmullen Road. So again, if anybody was travelling in that area around that time who may have dash cam footage, or indeed has any information in relation to the incident, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 53060.
You know, and I think you could be reasonably confident that there are people out there with information, you know, given the nature of the activity in all three kind of those appeals. It's just a case of encouraging people and reassuring people to come forward with that information. Charlene, can you give us an example of what might happen? So if I were to call up and say, I think I may have saw these two people, what happens in that? What happens then?
Well, the guy, they would take your details and obviously they would then look to see what information that you have. If it's a thing, you would have dash cam footage, we'd look to retrieve that. Some people do have dash cam footage, but sometimes they just don't know how to download the footage. We do have people, members in the station.
You just hand over the machine or the
absolutely,
card.
Absolutely, or they can call out, visit you and get the footage downloaded. We would look into the information that you provide. Then obviously we'd go to the area, see about CCTV in that area, just to corroborate, you know, the version of events and absolutely investigate the matter as best we can.
Yeah, and it often be complementary evidence, or it can progress an investigation that, you know, in a certain direction. Okay, right. Your colleagues now down in Ballyshannon are looking for witnesses to an incident.
That's correct. So there's an ongoing investigation in Ballyshannon at the moment, and Gardaí are appealing for sightings or indeed any dash cam footage again. And you can just see in all these appeals, Greg, how important dash cam footage is.
Now, yeah.
So as I said, they're looking for any sightings or dash cam footage in relation to a black Volkswagen Golf with Northern Irish registration plates that's believed to have travelled on the Ballyshannon to Blake Road, possibly the Clyhore area is what we're looking for at the moment. So on Saturday the 6th of May between 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. Now, it's believed that there was a number of male occupants on board a vehicle. And once again, we're asking if anybody's seen the car or indeed the occupants, you know, if they travelled along that route. Again, important if they have dash cam footage, we just ask them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 984. 58530. And again, this information is in relation to an ongoing investigation in the Ballyshannon area.
All right, okay. And as I say, with the as we say with the dash cam footage, it doesn't necessarily have to be the act itself. It can be the movements of a vehicle or people that can help progress an investigation, I'm sure. That being said, of course, if something's caught on camera as it happens, all the better. Right, criminal damage now in the Bunkrana area.
So Gardaí and Bunkrana are appealing for information this morning in relation to a recent criminal damage incident that occurred in the Carrickfern area of Bunkrana. Now, a resident in that area had parked their vehicle at their property between 10 p.m. on Saturday the 6th of May and 11 a.m. on Sunday the 7th of May. When they returned to their car, they discovered that the two tyres had been slashed. So we're just appealing for anyone who may have noticed any suspicious activity in the area between those times. And again, Carrickfern is a built-up area. If someone might have noticed something, seen something suspicious, maybe people hanging around or in the area, and we'd ask them to contact us at 932 0540.
Okay, shall we stay in Bunkrana now? I think our final appeal.
That's correct. So again, Gardaí and Bunkrana this morning are investigating an incident that occurred at Ballymacarry Lower. This occurred on Saturday the 6th of May between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Now, three boys in their mid-teens entered a yard at that location as trespassers, and they removed a pair of sunglasses and a hammer from a parked vehicle. They then went on to smash windows of two other vehicles. Now, the vehicles that were in the yard were just being used for parts, Greg, but irrespective of that, this criminal damage caused to these vehicles and property taken. So the yard in question is not far from the fire station in the town, and one of the boys was wearing a GA top. The other two were dressed in black tops. They left the scene taking the sunglasses and the hammers with them. So we just appeal for anyone again who may have noticed anything suspicious, anyone who may have been in the Ballymacarry Lower area, they may have captured these three young people on dash cam footage. We'd ask them to make that available to Gardaí in Bunkrana, or as I said, if they have any information, to contact us directly.
Okay, shall we finish with a mention about the scams? Because there's a lot of them going around, and even though you feel assured that you know it's a scam, and you're going to mention a few here, I think particularly the eFlow one gets people, because there's been a lot of coverage about not paying your eFlow fine, right? Mm-hmm. And how quickly the numbers can rack up, and these scammers know all about that. So it instantly makes you worried that if you disregard it, you could end up with a massive bill. But it's not just purporting to be from eFlow. They'll send them on behalf of many organisations, won't they?
That's correct. And even the Angara the Shikana has been utilising some of these scams. And I've seen some recently where there's, you know, like the emblem Angara the Shikana or a stamp or something purporting to be from ourselves. And they're just scams. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. So it's just, again, for people to be vigilant. Like, we're still receiving regular reports in relation to various types of scams. There have been circulated text messages, phone calls and emails. And the advice, as always, Greg, remains the same. Do not click on any links supplied. You know, do not disclose any personal or financial information. And should you receive correspondence in this regard, to contact us immediately and contact your bank if you think that your account may have been compromised. And again, look, I suppose there these scams, as you've rightly said, like, there's so many of them. But Electric Ireland, Amazon, Angara the Síochána, we're all being involved. Well, we're all being targeted, I suppose, for the purpose of these scams. They're using, as I said, the Angara the Síochána emblem. People think when they see this that it's legit, and they're not. And if in doubt, give us a call, and absolutely we'll look into it and we'll investigate it further.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It's just to be alert, really.
Exactly. And they can send out thousands of ones purporting to be from Amazon saying that there's additional charges. They only need 80 of those people to be waiting on a parcel.
Absolutely.
You know, and then all of a sudden you might let your guard down, and because they can blast them out to so many different people, you only need a small percentage of success. And always, you can always contact the company as well. I mean, obviously, pass it on to the Gardaí, but, you know, if it's Revolut, if it's Amazon, if it's eFlow, if it's whoever they purport to be from, they have customer services that you can contact and say, look, I've got this contact, just as an extra level of reassurance. Okay. Right. Okay. That was it. I think that's it. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
That's Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson from the Bunkrana Garda Station. There's a lot of information too going up on the Garda Síochána Facebook page as it relates to dog owner responsibilities. So check out their Facebook page, and also a little later on, you'll be able to re-watch and re-listen to this item, not only there, but also on our own social media if you missed any of it. We'll be back with it live, of course, on the programme next Tuesday, shortly after the 10 o'clock news. Okay, Greg, why has the price of coal not come down, smokeless, etc.? Diesel, petrol and home heating oil has come down. Surely the price of transporting should filter through to the customer. I don't know if the price of coal is that connected any longer to the input costs, because there's so much of it is tax now, carbon tax and what have you. So I don't think we're ever going to see cheap coal again. Greg, I've been making calls to the council for over a year to get a light bulb on the zebra crossing in Manor fixed. Hard to believe that 1 year later the light remains unfixed. We've had a couple of calls on that, Caroline, but we try and make inquiry to see about that, because it's been going on for a year now and it can't be beyond the powers that be to sort that out. Right, OK. We're joined on the programme now by Dr. Coleman Nochter, who's a psychotherapist and author of The 4-7 Zone, a book described as an easy and effective way to live a balanced life and become your own therapist. Dr. Nochter, Coleman, thank you very much for joining us. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's good to have you on the programme. So why did you write this book in particular?
Yeah, it's I suppose we've been through such extreme times over the last few years, and we've been kind of pushed into the extremes of persistence and trying to endure resilience, etc. But I suppose it's something I was working on over the years. When you're seeing someone for psychotherapy, you oftentimes ask them to rate things out of 10 just to see how their sleep is, how their appetite is. And what I found was everyone I was talking to was either 1, 2, 3 or 8, 9, 10. And I never met the 4 to 7 people. You know, and there was something about that middle or moderate that is actually quite safe or quite protective. And then kind of looking into that a little bit more, I mean, when we think about mental fitness, it's not about extremes. It is about moderation. So even we're looking at your diet or your heart rate or something like that, we're always kind of pushing ourselves. Whereas, in fact, the actual opposite is true when it comes to trying to have balance and equilibrium in our lives. That's almost where we're safest to be. And the other thing was, I was seeing average was becoming synonymous with bad. So people say, oh, you're only average or you're just average, and everybody wanting to be exceptional. The reality is most of us are average. So if we demonize average, then we consign most of the population to being unhappy. Or
and most of the 4 to 7s believe that stress is just part of life, that's I'm just that type of person, or anxiety is part of life, I'm just that type of person, that people that are accepting that that's the way they are, but if they were prepared to do a little bit of work, they could be feeling much better about themselves.
Yeah, and it's not about never going into 1, 2, 3 or 8, 9, 10. Life happens and it will push us into those extremes. But not all worry is anxiety and not all sadness is depression. Do you know what I mean? We need to kind of manage that and try and find a way back to the middle. And it's not necessarily that you should avoid being in the extremes. The key is not to stay there. It's oftentimes not the acuity of the sadness or difficulty in our lives, it's the length of time we have to endure it. That's the problem. Do you know what I mean? So the idea around being able to hold a mirror up to ourselves and say, look, at the moment, this is 8 out of 10. I got to get that down a little bit. This is 1 out of 10. I got to get that up. And whether that's socializing or mixing, like there's too much of something. We went on for years about, you know, we need to pause. We're too busy in our lives. But when we paused life for 2 years, we found that's too much. You know, we stayed in the pause position for too long. So it is about trying to find the way back and not stay in those extreme zones.
Can we find happiness and contentment in this current world, though? So many people we read today, 200,000 children living in poverty. Everywhere you turn, there's negativity. Social media's, you know, particular elements of it, it's just a cesspit. I mean, if you want to be happy, you'd almost need to disengage completely with it. And all of life pressures, like, can we tool ourselves up to feel better about ourselves? But for some people, it just feels that life is too difficult. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't mean that they have any suicidal ideology or what have you. I don't mean it like that there. I just mean that they just pick up a book or speak to someone like yourself and they just go, well, what can you do for me? Because you can't really change my situation. But can you change your mind to better deal with everything?
I think you can. I think there's a kind of a formula that says, you know, expectation minus reality equals happiness. And the idea is oftentimes our realities, we can't do anything about. They are what they are. What we need to adjust is our expectations, you know. And so the idea of it's about reclaiming your own value system. What is it that you want for yourself? And again, we're being told all the time our desire has been manipulated. You should want this, you should need this, you should have this. And oftentimes we spend our lives kind of chasing rainbows of things that we actually don't really need and don't really want. And what I do think is important, I think we've lost a whole concept of enough. You know, if there's no enough, there can be no contentment. Do you know what I mean? And so it is about trying to say, what is enough for me? And almost trying to pursue that. But there'll always be two types of people in life. There'll be people who are doing a jigsaw and say, look how much I've done. I'm doing great here. Yeah. And there's others who look in the box and go, look at all I have to do.
But so, even to counter my own point to some extent, I mean, let's say, for instance, and we'll move on. I don't want to focus on this type of stuff too much. But say, for instance, someone who's behind on their mortgage. Right. The advice is to engage with your lender. But someone could be catastrophizing it to such an extent, or so worried about it, or feel so helpless that they've literally mentally and physically can't make that call to engage. It suits them better to not open the letters, or to, you know what I mean? And if you were in a better place mentally, or you could sort of rationalize things a little bit better, you actually might be more inclined to make that call and alleviate that stress in your life. Is that a fair enough example? Because, I don't think we often, when we disengage, it's an actual choice that we make. I think it's just a panic. That's what burying your head in the sand is, I think, for a lot of people.
100%. And avoidance is a coping strategy. You know, that's what it is. And so, you know, if you have a reaction to something like that and say you're ruminating it and you're thinking about it all the time, you're obsessing about it, that's 8, 9, 10. Mm. But if you're just ignoring the letters and putting them in the bin, that's 1, 2, 3. And oftentimes neither of those are the desired reaction.
Avoid and go to the GP's 8, 9, 10, presumably, because you're fearful of what might happen if you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Because, you know,
same kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's avoiding that. But if parents come to me or say, you know, my kid's struggling in school, you know, I'll either go to get them grinds or go to change school. They're two extreme reactions. There's a whole series and spectrum of options in between there. It's like in a relationship and saying, I need to break up, or we need to stay together for the rest of our lives. There's a whole series of things in the middle that you can do to address those issues that aren't that extreme response. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, 100%. So I suppose when you write a book, there has to be a start point in that you have to bring the reader in, okay? Because not everybody, we've talked about avoidance, right? One of the key avoidance could be not opening this book for fear of having to face realities, okay? So how do you get people that perhaps most need to read a book like this not to avoid it because they're content in their number range, whatever that might be?
Yeah, I think one of the best compliments I've got since from writing the book is somebody says, this is a perfect book for someone who doesn't like self-help books, you know, because it's very forgiving. And it's kind of saying, look, we're all human. We all make mistakes. There's no issue in that. And it's not about new me transformational stuff. It's about tiny changes and trying to make it's the thing is about consistency over intensity. Despite the attraction of, you know, I'll do this and I get 6-pack abs in 6 weeks, they fail. They're clickbait. You know, it's about making those smaller changes. So the idea around, you know, even read one chapter of the book and see how you're doing with it. But to put it in context, I've opened the book with, we live in a culture of anxiety. You know, there's something about how life is being driven at the moment that is making all, I've never seen so many anxious people in my life as I have now. And it's not all pandemic related. There's something about, you know, the way in which the world is, where we're kind of normalizing excess and, you know, it's all you can eat, you know, this hyper comparative culture between each other, which actually we need to kind of re-grasp a bit.
I think in trying to make everyone feel okay, no matter what it is about them, that we've chucked away something that's really quite important to us, guardrails or whatever it might be, or do you know what I mean? That we find, I think a lot of us, and particularly I'm worried for young people, are struggling for any sense and meaning in life because everything goes. You know what I mean? It's okay if you're larger. It's okay if you're incredibly skinny. It doesn't matter because really we can't say anything. It's okay if you know, like, I don't think really, this is all very, very new. And I think it's problematic. And as I say, I worry particularly for the young people because a lot of guidance is not being given to them because people are being hands off, right? And then everyone's worried that they're anxious. So they're even more hands off but they need that helping hand. They need that guidance. We all need it. We need rules and boundaries, don't we, to operate within, to make sense of everything.
100%. And I think one of the biggest challenges we have at the moment is overcorrection. So say, for example, we didn't talk about sex and sexuality in Ireland for so long. So it was 1 to 3. Now it's kind of gone the other way where it's 8, 9, 10. We're kind of over accepting. Like, I remember going to a school a couple of years ago.
But the problem is you see, sorry about this. And I want you to go on to that example to use your 1 to 3, right, is arguing with 7 to 10 and 4 to 7's in the middle, not knowing what bloody hell to do. I think if you're arguing about something, it gives you a focus. That's almost a replacement of the barriers because you're campaigning and you're passionate and it keeps you in a track. And then there's the majority of people in actual society who are having to live in this world that the extremes are arguing over, right? And they're almost like victims to it. But if you're campaigning and you're passionate, it keeps you on some sort of a straight and narrow. Sorry, go on anyway to your point.
No, but I think you're pointing to the issue of polarization. Do you know what I mean? So if it's only, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. If that's the attitude, then there's no room for discussion. There's no room for questions. And I think like the overcorrection is like, say, for example, going to a school and this teacher proudly brought me around and said, this is our worry wall. This is our worry plant. This is our worry bucket. And I was kind of saying, if I was a kid in this class and I didn't worry, I think there's something wrong with me. So, you know, it is okay
really
to not be okay.
Point, yeah.
But it's okay to be okay too. Mm. You know, and again, we need to kind of almost manage that overcorrection a little bit. Everyone is maybe so fearful of becoming branded as anti something, they almost become.
Well, there's a name for everything, right? Except you can't use the word normal either. So I actually can't even articulate what I'm trying to say. But there's a name for everything. But if you are content and happy and things are going okay, what is the word for that? What is the word that you could actually use on Twitter without being hammered? There isn't. There's a word for everything else.
So, you know, if I'm content, well, then I'm settling. You know, if I'm average, well, then I don't have any drive. If I have, you know, so what we're demonizing is that middle. You know, it's all about pick a lane. You're either left or you're right. And when we get caught up in that, then we almost like if say, for example, we came to an argument and I was 4 and you were 7. The more arguments I'd have, I'd go to 3, you go to 8. I go to 2, you go to 9. And what happens is we just split rather than coming towards each other. And almost like, I think it's a kind of that hyper-vigilant way in which we're engaging in conversation that we're so afraid of stepping on a landmine, maybe, that we actually don't have any conversation at all. And that's where avoidance comes into it.
In some of the documentation that comes with the book, it says many of us will notice a two-way relationship between our bodies and our emotional lives. Many of us do, but I don't think most of us do, that make that connection between how we feel mentally and the impact on our physical.
Yeah, the best example of that is blushing. So when you're embarrassed, your face goes red. Embarrassment is an emotion. Your changing color of your skin is a physical reaction. So there's an undeniable reaction or relationship between how we feel and our bodies. And that works two ways. So, you know, if you're not sleeping and you're not looking after your diet, then your mental health will suffer. And if your mental health is suffering, you'll see it in your loss of appetite or your sleeplessness. And again, it's probably just about recognizing the duality of that there is a relationship. And maybe it's not about it. Maybe it's too tough to sort out the stuff that's keeping you awake at night, but trying to improve your sleep might be the place to start. You know what I mean? Because oftentimes the symptom that we experience is a signpost to the problem. It is not the problem. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So if you're going along and your petrol gauge in your car flashes that you're low, it's not about changing the bulb in the dashboard. It's about putting more petrol in the tank. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we can over-focus on the symptom and not look at where it's pointing. And so the book tells us a little bit about how to interpret behavior.
And we're going to talk about that because so far I've talked about everything around as to why we might need the book, but I am going to finish with that. I mean, look, is it as simple as this? You can go to a GP and you can get a tablet that will, I don't know what the phraseology was, that will switch off certain things in your mind. Like if you're over worrying or if you're anxious or it'll dumb it down or whatever. This is about tooling people up. Is it to be able to sort of do that, have that same sort of an effect, but do it themselves? You know what I mean? Or to cope what might be dumbed down a little bit by a medicine, for an example? Or are you happy enough with that sort of a description?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, we go to the GP and say, I can't sleep, help me sleep, you know, and sometimes we bring a child to GP and say, they won't go to school, can you make them go to school, without actually understanding why we're not sleeping and why that child doesn't want to go to school. And so it is, and I think, again, it's not about criticism, but I think some of the strategies over the last few years have been very passive in terms of mindfulness, meditation, all that sort of stuff. They're kind of distraction-based, you know, let's kick the can down the road a little bit. This is a little bit more active, and it's about saying, let's look at this and see what's causing it, what might be keeping me up, what might be turning me off my food, what might be affecting my social energy or appetite. And it's trying to almost create a mirror that we can actually plot backwards and say, okay, well, maybe that's the thing I need to change in order to improve this.
All right, there's no point when releasing a book like this where you tell us what the problems are. You have to talk us through it, right, and tell us how to actually implement things that will address the obvious issues that we've been raising, and then to sort of become your own therapist as you reach the end of the book. So take us through that journey. You take the reader on briefly and how you hope to help them. Please.
So the central part of the book is about case studies. So there's a case of, say, Adam, who's a chap who kind of his diet has gone. He goes to the GP with high cholesterol. He says he coming out of the GP office, he gets a new tracksuit, new runners, couch to 10K app, does a paleo diet, and he's failed by Saturday and he feels awful about it. And so suggesting that that's not the way to do it. Another case of around intimate relationships, someone who was a victim of betrayal a few years ago and just can't seem to regain that kind of trust and has an allergy to vulnerability. And so it's about helping her to come through that. Then there's issues of parenting and technology. So we go through work-life balance, diet, exercise, and give you case examples of where those more common problems occur. And then by unpicking each case, you kind of find out that the origin of those difficulties weren't in the diet and exercise. There were other things going on in that person's life. And it's about trying to then use those examples to kind of hold it up to yourself and say, well, maybe I'm not sleeping is because my child is unhappy in childcare. Maybe the reason that I'm not thriving in work is because I'm in the wrong role and I shouldn't be people managing. I should be tasked. And it's just a case of kind of regaining control of your own values and making a decision based on the middle, the safe one, as opposed to trying to match those extremes.
Yeah. Okay. And it's been very well received, Coleman. You must be very pleased with that.
Oh, delighted. Yeah. No, as I say, it's a departure for me because I'd normally, you know, do children and adolescents. And a lot of people, unfortunately, think the title is about children aged 4 to 7, which is not. But from the point of view of, it was a risk for me to get into the adult side of things, a bit of a departure. But I'm delighted with how it's been received. And a lot of people have been very complimentary of it. So that's lovely. Yeah.
OK, well, the book is out now. It is called The 4-7 Zone, and you've heard Coleman describe exactly why it might be called that. Many of you listening probably in that 4-7 Zone. It was released at the end of April, and it's available presumably in all good bookshops and wherever else you get books.
Yeah, it's widely available all around the country, so
And what age group would you recommend reading it? From what age upwards, I wonder, just finally? I mean, obviously there's no upper age group.
Yeah. Anybody between 17 and 107, I think, is probably where it would. But
I've just got a text from a 180-year-old. No, I'm joking.
But I think anyone in that kind of 20s, 30s, 40s, it's especially kind of maybe those people in the squeezed middle or whatever.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people sort of maybe hit 45 or 42 and they kind of wonder, well, what went on in my 30s? Or what went on in my 20s? Or what did it do? Or why was it? You know, take control now. If you're in, you know, take control now, because sometimes when you get a bit older, you wonder, well, what was all that about? And some of it is that you're just coping. You were just ticking along as a 4 to 7 or something, when maybe you could have been the lower the better, isn't it? Like a 1 to 3 is better than a 7 to 10.
Not if it's around exercise or diet, okay, and things like that. It's like in the middle. But I think from the point of view of we all sweat the small stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's about being told, stop sweating the small stuff, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know? And the anticipation of something too is often worse than the reality of it. And we focus 90% on the anticipation, and then we deal quite well with the 10% of reality sometimes too.
100%.
All right, 100%. Listen, lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great having you on the show. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank
you
so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. That is Dr. Coleman Nochter, psychotherapist and author of The 4-7 Zone. If anything there resonated with you, you can grab that book in the usual places where you would get books, presumably online as well. A little later on, we're going to be talking about the new hate speech laws. We're going to have one person sort of advocating for them, I suppose. You see, the problem is we don't really know what we're going to get yet. OK, it's a little bit like the defective concrete. Remember that was announced? And then really what happens is they have to be worked through now. So we don't really know exactly what might come of it. That's my understanding of it. Obviously, there are some people that are very fearful that this will mean that your thoughts are policed effectively, that you will have to disprove guilt rather than someone else prove it to you, that you could be fined for having issues with our immigration or immigration policy, that you could be criminalized for having a view on what's taught in schools. Okay, is that the case? I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of it, hopefully. As I say, though, we don't know exactly what is to be proposed, but those are the concerns. And when you have people like Elon Musk and JFK Jr. opining on the situation, obviously, it gives credence to those fears and maybe justified. Who's to say? But we're going to be going through all of that a little later on. Just a couple of requests, actually, which I love to get in. Bernadette Naiman Lafferty, they're in Hornhead, Dunfana. He's celebrating their wedding anniversary. Lots of love from all the family in Crohan, in Rathmullen. Erin McGinty's in Clohan as well, making her confirmation this evening in Glenfinn. Congratulations to you from Granny and all the gang in Clohan. Good luck to Harry McGlynn, Glenfinn, in his confirmation day. That's coming in from Shane, Angie, Casey, Cillian. Oren Doherty and Glenfinn making his confirmation this evening from Nan, Annie and Grandad Mick. Happy to make those announcements for you. Now we'll welcome on to the programme reporter Henry McKean, who is over at the Eurovision Song Contest 2023. The big final, of course, on Saturday. Semi-finals tonight and Thursday. Henry, you get all the good gigs. Good morning to you.
Well, Liverpool calling, and we're live here in the Hard Day's Night Hotel. So this is a Fab Four Beatles-themed hotel, and there's memorabilia all over the place, photographs all over the place, dripping with local Liverpudlian celebrity. And just in about 2 or 3 minutes' time, we expect Wild Youth to actually come here and speak to journalists. That's the Irish act. They're sick tonight up there singing. So lots of excitement, lots of build-up, and a lot of hope that Ireland make it through.
Henry, hopefully the controversies now is behind them and the questions will lay, and you can tell me if they will or not. Now we'll just focus on them and the performance and the excitement and the buzz. Do you think that will be the focus in chats with Wild Youth today?
Well, I mean, for example, Cha-Cha-Cha is going to be the Finland song, and that song is extremely powerful. Also, Croatia are hugely powerful tonight too. And Ireland, I saw them in rehearsals yesterday. There's lots of gold, there's lots of glitter, and there's a huge amount of, you could say, passion. You could say a little bit of Joe Dolan thrown in there too, a nod to Harry Styles as well. And I think there's energy behind it too. And this is basically an Irish city. So Wild Youth are actually feeling that love, that Irish love, coming in from Liverpool. The lead singer has just got into the lift there, and he's just going to go upstairs before the press conference. So I'm around them. I know I want to try and hand the phone to them so you can have a word.
Oh, right.
But I don't know if it's going to be possible. But, very, very exciting.
Well, we'll just see.
And you talked about anticipation too.
Yeah, you talked about it being, an Irish city, Liverpool. But it's a Ukrainian city too, of course, because Liverpool is hosting this because the competition can't be held in Kyiv.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you reminded me of that.
So what's the atmosphere and feel like in that regard?
Yeah, so what they're doing, I think there's Ukrainian flags everywhere. A lot of the tickets for rehearsals and for the semis and for the finals are going to the Ukrainian refugee community. It's co-presented. There's Ukrainian presenters right through. So there's the lighting as well. There's Ukrainian lighting. There's beautiful singing in it too from a Ukrainian pop star. And they've got like this LED show halfway through it. So it will get you in the heart. And some of the songs, for example, Croatia have an anti-Putin song. So there is, they say that Eurovision isn't political, but once again this year it is political. And Britain is very much hosting it this year because they came second. And they are hosting it on behalf of Ukraine. So yeah, there's a Ukrainian feel everywhere.
Okay, we want to stay positive and we hope that Ireland will get through. But the quality of opposition now, it's increasing all the time. And you have to really, you know, have a brilliant song and a great onstage performance to make it through. Can we hope, Henry?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I woke up this morning. Do you know what I said? I said, we are going to qualify. We are going to qualify. I know the bookies might disagree and say that, you know, it's only 10 out of the 15 countries go through. But I have a feeling, I have a good feeling that we might just qualify. And it is very, very difficult to pick the right song, to pick the right act. It's very, very difficult to get it right. But I think, you know, it's a upbeat song. It's something that would, I think the young people and the super fans will like it. And then, as I said, there's a little bit of Joe Dolan in there as well. So I think we could just, I want to be positive here, I think we could just scrape it.
And it's a great platform for Wild Youth. They're a great bunch of people, aren't they? So, you know, they're going to get a great lift out of this as well.
It's great for a band. It's great to have that kind of exposure. Remember, they do a full tour around Europe beforehand. I think it costs something like $300,000 for RTE to bring a Eurovision act to the stage. I mean, it does add up. So obviously that's including everything from hotel rooms for the band to tours of Europe to staging, you name it. And, you know, they have come through a difficult few weeks. There was a trans debate with their arts director, which they fell out of, which did get a little bit, how do I be diplomatic? It became a little bit heated. But the band have said that's now all in the past. They've moved on from that, and they're not going to be distracted by it, and they're happy and they're content. So that's good. That happened about 2 weeks ago. So now they can just concentrate on the love, on the peace, on the music.
And Henry, are you getting to both semi-finals and the final?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I got to go to the full dress rehearsals. I'm still looking for a ticket tonight. I'm still looking. I'm hopeful that I get a ticket, but I'll be in the press centre right next door, and I'll be sneaking in and sneaking out, hoping to get a ticket. But last night was the next best thing. I got to see the full show, full rehearsals. And there's another surprise, which I didn't mention. Dustin the Turkey is coming. Dustin, in 2008, represented Ireland, and the Eurofans didn't like it. They thought they weren't pleased. So Dustin the Turkey, more than likely, is going to show up tonight. He's not going to be singing, but he's going to be making a cameo. So that's going to be fascinating, interesting. Is Dustin Eurovision royalty? He might think he is. So we're going to be keeping an eye out for him also.
Right, so we had Kermit and Miss Piggy at the weekend and Dustin tonight. There's a theme emerging, maybe.
Just say that one more time.
We had Miss Piggy and Kermit at the weekend in London or Windsor or wherever it was, and we've got Dustin the Turkey tonight. There's a theme developing here, I think.
It's all about the love, and it's all about the respect. And fun. Remember, what is Eurovision about? Eurovision is about fun. It's about love. And you could say it's one big, massive party, an EU party, with music thrown in, with politics, with fun. And it's very over the top tonight.
Okay.
We've got Rita Ora performing as well. There's lots of light shows. Obviously, Germany only compete in the final because they're one of the big five. They're putting up a rock song later on too. So there's something for everyone in the audience.
Okay,
so
Henry, listen.
If you can get near a TV, definitely do.
Okay, I'm going to let you go because you've got to go to the press thing. Listen, thanks very much indeed. Enjoy it. Henry McKean, who's reporting on that for us. Okay, let's hear the song.
We take our first breath. And then we exhale. Then we give it all we got until we fail. We get back up again. We take a look around. Oh, life can be a long road, but at least we're not alone.
but still we keep on going, climbing every wall. We keep on fighting.
Show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union, with monster loans available up to €60,000 for all occasions. Visit letterkennycu.ie.